You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 26, and yes, I'm Anne-Marie Cross, your host, brand and communication strategist, also known as the Podcasting Queen. Now, joining me today is Sharon Ludlow, and she's from Grace and Confidence. Now, the core mission of her services is to help you create a future that is founded on seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when God is first, that is when you create breakthrough into your purpose and experience real success. Amen. You become focused, strategic, and purposeful. Now, whether it's in your career or your business, or you're finding your purpose on focusing on faith-based biblical success ideas and thinking, you're going to move where you are to the place that you want to be without sacrificing your relationship or your free time. Now, on today's show, Sharon is going to share how God can take a girl from a farm outside of Melbourne, take her into the nations with no qualifications, no recommendations, to be a witness to the power of God. Well, if that can happen, anything is possible. She's also going to talk about how the Bible tells us that Daniel learned from the books, and that is what drove him to understanding, to prayer, fasting, angelic visits, prophet utterances, kingdom opportunities. Now, the Christian who is armed with a hunger for understanding is going to read, so we should be. And there's nothing more important to God than the salvation of mankind and so much more. So welcome to the show, Sharon.
Thank you for having me, Anne-Marie.
So, God took you as a girl from a farm outside of Melbourne and then into the nations, no qualifications, no recommendations, to be a witness to the power of God. Take us back to that journey, if you would, so that we can really find out that journey that you went through at that time.
Well, okay, so, you know, as most Christians know, your life testimony can be quite, you know, there's many ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. And when I got saved, I had such a beautiful experience with Christ. And after growing up in a church where I was never really connected to it, mm-hmm. I think that when I met Christ, I was like, God, I'm all in, mm-hmm. or I'm all out. I'm not just going to be a churchgoer. I'm not just going to be a nominal Christian. I'm 100% believing or I'm out. Mm. I can't walk the line, no. You know. Mm-hmm. And that led me to Youth with a Mission. I was about 21 years old at the time and went and did a discipleship training course at Youth with a Mission. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's such a long story, but the short version is God took me out of Youth with a Mission and connected me with people who had stepped into the anointing. Mm. And had stepped into the Jesus kind, Paul kind of demonstration of the gospel. So mm-hmm. it was really, you know, where the scripture says that the kingdom of God is not in word, it is in power. Mm. And so it was like saying, okay, we're going to go and we're going to speak and then God will show up with the power. Mm. And that's basically, we went all around Melbourne, we went all around Australia, and had public meetings, and the power of God started, the healing started, deliverance was there. And I was part of witnessing the truth of the scripture. Mm, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow. And I'm like, well, it's either true or it's not true, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I saw. Yeah. And this same, you know, group of people started to grow. We started to get a bit of notoriety and we launched into international crusade evangelism. Mm. And so we went to Africa and around the Pacific Islands and, you know, been around the world on state platforms in a national sense and preach the gospel and let God show up in power. Mm. And so it's kind of, you know, it's like Billy Graham meets Reinhard Bonnke meets T.L. Osborne. And you know, I like to say to people, it has nothing to do with how good you are or how qualified you are or, You know, none of that. It's not about titles. See, some people say, but I'm not called to that. And I go, rubbish. You're told to go into all the world. You know what I mean? Like, we're all told to be a light to the world. And everybody from all different walks of life joined us. So seeing the transformation of when somebody experiences Christ and then they're saved, they're set free, and, you know, healing happens, deliverance happens. People started having babies that couldn't have babies. People got into business and became prosperous when they were, what? So the stories are huge. Amazing. And so my passion is the reality of the demonstration of God across the earth, because that is the gospel.
Yeah.
It's not in word, it's in power. And, so that's kind of my background in terms of, for over 25 years I've been involved in international evangelism or ministry, you know. And so that's, you know, that's why I say you don't have to be kind of qualified with you know, there's no like Bible school that prepares you for that. There's no church attendance that prepares you. It's you simply getting your Bible and going, God, I'm going to be stupid enough to believe everything that's in this book.
But you know what I love about that, and it's such a great reminder that often God calls people who really we would not, like you see in the Bible, like Moses had to go and speak to Pharaoh and he stuttered. My previous guest was talking about you know incredible stories too, and in her journey, and often that we're reminded then if we do come from our strength, we can often forget that it's not through our own strength but through the strength and power of God, and we're told that we really need to surrender. Sometimes God is just seeking a willing heart. And I'm reminded of that story, you know, before he finds Rahab on the city wall, that I searched the city wall and I found no one. And I thought, well, that's really sad, you know. And sometimes we've just got to say, you know, I'm willing. And then all of a sudden we can find ourselves in places and situations that we think, I have no idea where I ended up. And it's certainly not on my qualifications, as you said, and the things I've learned, but certainly by the grace of God. So thank you for sharing that testimony. So now you're working in your own business then, the Grace and Confidence. How long has that been operating for them?
But I transitioned into coaching and helping people around 2014, around that kind of time. I've been in business since about 2004, but that was in the e-commerce.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of e-commerce businesses. You know, when people were building websites and you couldn't actually, it was too hard. It was all in HTML and everything.
Oh, yes.
So you couldn't get online. It was very hard. That was when I started. And so after having a couple of e-commerce businesses, I got into this kind of coaching and developing of people. And over that time, it's kind of ebbed and flowed, you know, where I started to see where the need of people was. Because like I always say to people, I can sit there and create a marketing plan with you. I can help you find revenue streams. I can help you with the website and all those things, you know, to get your business up and running. And I can do all those things. But to me, if you're not connected to who you are and to that purpose that God is putting you in, then really you're only building something the world's way. You know, it's all hard work, it's stress, it's overwhelm. When God comes along and the Spirit of God is there, it's, you know, it's a joy, and you know what I mean? Like, God comes along and partners with you. So that's, since 2014, that's been part of my journey with Grace and Confidence.
Yeah, fantastic. And I love the way that you're going to dive into the next next point, that you're saying that the Bible tells us that Daniel learned from the books that is what drove him to understanding, prayer and fasting, angelic visits, prophetic utterances and kingdom opportunities. And I'm actually reading a book, and I believe it's by David Hodges. He's a minister pastor in the US, but it's called the Daniel Dilemma, and it's about being true to who we are, our values, in a very confused world. So I've loved that, but I didn't realize till I read through the book, and he, you know, really broke it apart, or broke it down, that 77 years Daniel was in some, you know, form of not prison, but you know, that situation. That's a lot of years. 77
years,
isn't it? Yeah. So share for people who may not be, because I'm sure there are people who are listening and viewing today that may not have a background in Christianity, may not know the story of Daniel. It's an incredible story, isn't it?
Well, you know, what I love about the Bible is that It teaches you ideas and concepts about God. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the mistake a lot of people make when they communicate Christianity. Mm. They use verses as, it's almost like using the law.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas God, the excitement of God, the idea of God is in the idea that the scriptures give you.
Mm-hmm.
You start to connect with the thoughts and the logos of God. And it starts from the Bible, but it takes you into the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel was a guy who was very, he was devoted to learning. He was very diligent. He was, and he'd been taken, the whole nation had of Israel had been taken prisoner by, you know, the Assyrian, the Babylonian empires had come in because as a nation, Israel had really stopped depending on God and had turned to other idols. That was the core of why they were taken away. God had said, well, you're going to go to idols. I'm not going to look after you anymore. That's the short version, you know. Mm. And so they were all taken into this slavery. But Daniel, through the whole time he was there, was committed to understanding God. And you've got to remember, this guy did not have what we have in a Bible now.
No, they didn't have Google and YouTube.
He didn't have
YouTube.
He had, they said he had the books. He had the, the parchments.
Yep.
And so he was like studying over it, thinking about it. And, you know, and obviously, you know, I heard someone recently remind, and I thought it was such a great thing. He was saying, you know, Daniel did not try to convert the king, just like Joseph did not try to convert Pharaoh, you know, just like Esther did not try to convert the king. They were there for a job. They were there to be a Christian, right?
Yeah.
It's my God in me showing up, and the light that I reflect here, the wisdom that I show, because the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. I mean, that's what Proverbs tells you. And so the Christian who hungers and thirsts goes after that knowledge and understanding. It's not the same as wisdom in the world. You know, it's not the same as just accumulation of stuff that you know. And it's not even just accumulation of knowing scripture. It's searching, like in Corinthians, it talks about the spirit that searches the deep things of God. That's what the word of God's like, the ideas, the concepts, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, there's this God that wants to save mankind. You know, it's not little individual verses that you bring out of a promise book. You know what I mean? It's not just history's historical things. Daniel was in the middle of a historic catastrophe for a nation, and yet in the middle of it, he stands there and says, listen, I know my God. You have your magicians, you have everybody else, you're trying to interpret dreams, and let me just tell you. And he showed up, and he was able to do things with so much accuracy and integrity and excellence. Now imagine if that's your and my witness now in the world.
Yes.
Wow, Anne-Marie was, she did everything with excellence. She had an excellent spirit. She had integrity. She was the voice of God. You know what I mean? And that, so Daniel, but one of the little verses in the middle of Daniel says that he did it with books. He read, and through the books he would get the idea of the, and he looked, that's where he discovered Israel had been there for 70 years. And he's like, oh, my God. And he went straight into prayer and fasting with the idea he got from the reading. He went into prayer and fasting and said, God, help me to understand, help me how to change this. How many, like that's to me, that's the kind of stir up for Christians.
Yeah.
Do you take the word of God? What do you do? Do you make it your own? Or do you kind of partner with people around you? You know, so Daniel and the way he learned, man, it just makes me kind of go, all right, Daniel, what was the secret? Because you are amazing, you know.
What I loved about his story too is the way that he was very influential. And you mentioned that, you know, as a Christian, he knew the law and he wanted to obey that law. So when, of course, the law of the nation said, you can't, you know, you need to bow down to our idols and other things, he was very influential in the way. He did not, and sometimes what we do as Christians, we'll defend, but in a very, it almost seems like in an arrogant way. And what ends up happening then is through that, when we're standing up for the truth, but we don't do it with love, we don't do it with grace. And then, so we end up, unfortunately, turning people away because no one wants to try and talk about something with someone who seems hostile, but he was very influential. And I love the story about how, you know, he was, or everyone was fed the food of the king and the drink and so forth, but he said to the people, look, give us 10, I think it was 10 days, we'll eat our food and our drink, and then we'll come back and we'll do a comparison, to the point that that's what they did. And the men, Daniel and his men, who ate, which is vegetables and water, were far more in their physique and in their in what they were able to do. And then I think the king then said, wow, there's a real comparison. So rather than saying, we're not allowed to eat this and we're not allowed to drink that, you know, the way we talk about that had a dialogue, there was some curiosity there, and then the outcome itself, and as we said, you know, the outcome is then influenced through God's power and strength, and what we could not possibly achieve on our own can then speak. And it's the attitude and approach, I think, is very important, how we associate the business dealings that we do, because we can say things.
Yeah.
But saying things and doing things and our attitude and approach, that is going to speak louder than any words that we say, yes?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, because you see the evidence of it, you know, particularly I think we see the evidence in a public sphere when it comes to the media portraying Christians. Mm. You know, I think about American politics in that context in particular, because Australians don't tend to be very vocal about faith and things like that, you know. We actually should be caring about, we're not allowed to talk about here. But in America, you have people that will stand out even politically for their opinion on faith. But I find that so many of them do it from a moralistic background. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all about, oh, you know, we should be this and we should be that and we should be this. But the fact is, politically, even if we have a Christian nation, it doesn't mean we have a Christian leader, right? And so we, like you're saying, we talk with this kind of thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, and we've forgotten that it is the love of God, the grace of God, the demonstration, the Christian in me that is the light to the world, not the law and the we should. And, you know, I'm always amazed, even, you know, in the current political climate in America in particular, how many Christians are so judgmental, the judgment, the finger pointing and the condemning, when we know scripturally that God is the one that put kings into power. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter who is our leader. As Christians, we should shut our mouth, you know what I mean, and be a witness just to the love of God. It doesn't matter what side of the fence they're on and what they're doing and all the rest of it. So when it comes to business deals, when it comes to dealing with people, we operate as a Christian with integrity, and we're listening to the Spirit of God, which is in us, so that we can navigate. But when we come with the, oh, well, you know, you have to be like me and, you know, we have to think the same way and, you know, I don't like you because you've got purple hair or whatever it is, you know, we're already in the wrong place. Yeah. The grace of God is, I mean, for goodness sake, I'm such a terrible, horrible sinner. I don't deserve anything. And yet the grace of God is there to say, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I love in the, you know, in the story of Daniel, and this is what the book, the Dilemma of Daniel speaks about, that we do need to speak the truth, but with love. And when we look at some of the instances of Jesus, that he connected with people first before he corrected with them, and he corrects them. And the example that I read this morning in the meditation piece that I had was when he came into town, you know, Zacchaeus, I think that's how you spell it correctly, the tax collector who was pocketing a bit too much tax. And I mean, you know, we talk about tax in our government, that could open up a huge debate. But, you know, and Zacchaeus was quite short. So he went up into a tree, and Jesus saw him and said, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your place for some tea or whatever it was. So he connected with him first. And I think Zacchaeus came down and said, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to give back to the poor four times and stuff like that. That you connect with people first, build that relationship, you know, the know, like, and trust. before we can start to even hope to share some truth with them, you know. And I think as Christians, we need to be reminded in our attitude and our approach, and sometimes it's through actions. And, you know, in the most troubling of times, how we respond is going to be a witness. And often people will watch us, won't they, and go, I don't know how you handled that, but that's consistent in your life. Share more. Then we've got an invitation.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you're silent.
No.
You know, because some people will say that means that I never mention Jesus because there's conflict. Mm. You know, it just upsets people. And I think there are different situations for different responses, mm-hmm. and we're all called into different parts of the world, and we have to operate at different things, don't mm-hmm. we? I mean, there's some spaces where you can be full on Christian and it doesn't matter, but there are some places where you may not be able to verbalize with so much liberty of the things that you say, mm. but the manner in which you conduct yourself and the wisdom that comes out, because you know the Spirit is giving you wisdom. You know, some of our things with the Crusades, you know, we've dealt with government officials in different nations and different leaders in different nations. And you can't always just go in guns blazing, go, oh, you know, everybody's got to be like me, because that's not the gospel, right? Mm. And you come in and but afterwards people go, my goodness, there's something about those people.
Yeah.
What was it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's the witness, right? That's where God is demonstrating himself. We're just along for the ride with our, you know, with everything else we've got carrying in the arsenal, you know.
Yeah. It was funny the other day, and I mentioned this on Facebook, we've got a little pooch and I just love singing to him. And it was funny because, you know, over the years I've made up all of these different songs with that rhymes with his name and places that don't exist. But it was funny. But sometimes, you know, we'll sing and we'll hum hymns and stuff like that. And then it wasn't until I walked out of my bedroom onto the landing that I realized one of my son's friends was in his bedroom there in their early mid-20s. And I thought, oh, you know, and it wasn't till later that my son said that he said, why is your mother so happy? And it's like that is how I am pretty much, you know, all of the time. You just see, but so it's little things like that people notice, you know.
My kids are the same. They're like, she's a bit crazy. She's loud and she's crazy. They're the two things. She's got a loud laugh. So, you know, when somebody gets you and you just start laughing, yes. and they'll be like, Mom.
Yes.
But, you know, I go, but I'm myself, you know, and the, you know, and it's true, the confidence that comes, hence part of the name of my business, that confidence that comes is because you know who you are, mm-hmm. you know who loves you, you know, the confidence comes because you've got this foundation inside of you that is not movable.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't matter whether something fails or it works, mm-hmm. you're immovable. Because you know those things. And, you know, so yeah, when you show up, you are who you are, and, you know, you just let God add the extra herbs and spices.
Exactly. So, talking about herbs and spices, there's nothing more important to God than the salvation of mankind. Let's talk about this. And I want to share something that you mentioned before we hit recording, as you're saying how sad it is that sometimes as Christians we can be the, what did you say? The I can't even think of the word now. What's the
submarine?
The submarine. Couldn't even think then. The submarine Christians, where we're kind of under the surface and we don't really say much at all. Yet we're called to be, you know.
We're supposed to be the city set on the hill.
Mm.
You know, we're supposed. And this is the thing. I think culturally. I love watching international politics.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching cultural shifts, and I love trying to understand the agenda, because we all know, okay, when you've read the Bible, you understand that there is a progression of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the times are heading towards a, you know, events that mm-hmm. are going to take place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that God has not revealed the time to anybody. That's what the Bible tells you, but you know it's coming.
Mm.
So, but the Bible, even in the book of Daniel, it talks about the wise person that starts to understand the times, that is looking for the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as Christians, a lot of times we've been kind of sold this story that the important thing is that we work on our own faith, that we go to church, you know, we try to be good, like, as in we try to do good works, we do a few things, and we've completely missed what Christianity is about. And I get into a lot of trouble when I talk about this subject, because the subject of, people are pretty passionate about the local church and about all that kind of stuff. So I don't want to kind of dabble into that area. But what I get frustrated with Christians is this small, it's like a small life. Mm-hmm. God's going to bless me in my house, and then I will bless him with my little $10, mm-hmm. Or I will bless him with my, and they've forgotten that they've stepped into a vision. Mm. When you've come into Christ, suddenly you've come into this man, God, whose heart is to save the whole world. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, people talk about wanting to know the will of God and what's my purpose and what's this and this and this. I'm sorry, read your Bible. Because our purpose and our calling and all those things, it's not so much about I'm called to business and I'm called to politics and this. It's like, I am a Christian in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. What can I do, Lord?
Yeah.
You know?
How can I impact?
To connect with that thing. Mm. And so when you're watching international politics and you're watching the world and culture and ideologies, most Christians, like even with when it comes to the learning and stuff as well, we're so busy in our life. We retract from faith and kingdom, and we live in the safe little life of our local church and our day-to-day life and the importance of raising our family. And meanwhile, billions of people are dying around us, never having heard the gospel, never knowing a real Christian. Mm-hmm. And you look at it and you go, what am I going to say? If I stand before God, like the Bible tells me, what am I going to say? Oh, God, but I managed to pay my house off and, I managed to send my kid to a great school and I was a nice Christian to the lady up the road. Yeah, but what about the 20,000 people that were around you that never heard the gospel? You were meant to be a light on the hill. So as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about it. So and this has evolved because over the years of traveling internationally and seeing over time, it's become almost, it's become normal for Christians to blend.
Yeah, let me pick up on that because that's something that I know myself that I have often struggled with, because it's like, what do I say? And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes when I start talking about it, it's so true for me, I'll just start blubbering, and that's not a very good look if you're trying to share a testimony. So I thought, well, I can do this, share other people's stories and empower it. So like, I'll show up with the microphone, Lord, what you do with that is up to you. But, sometimes we do want to do more and contribute, but yes, we don't know what to say. I mean, everything that we talked about today is so important. It's being, it's how we show up. It's our approach. But because of that, you have been out there and you have been evangelizing and you've seen some incredible things happen on a daily basis for people whose lives were just transformed. What would you say to someone who can see that, yes, I have lived, and sometimes people don't even watch TV because it can become so depressing with all of the hatred and all of that. And it's almost like, there's that metaphor. It's not the Christian one, obviously, but you see all of these starfish lying on a beach and waves, and someone picks it up and throws the starfish back in and does that. And the person he's walking next to said, do you think that's going to make a difference? He said, well, it did to that starfish. That's kind of, if we look at that analogy, the conversations that we can have with someone in a coffee shop or whatever it is can make a huge difference to their trajectory or the decisions that they continue.
See, for me, this is where I always come back to. Mm. It is the thinking. Mm. It's the thinking. Most, what I find is believers are fine in their safe zone. Mm-hmm. Right? But they haven't let the thinking of God permeate their mind and permeate. The word of God isn't like air, Mm-hmm. You're not reading it and getting excited about it. You're not reading the life of Jesus like it's a movie. Oh, my God, he went there, he did that, he said that. I can't even imagine, Like we don't engage with the word of God like it's coming alive, like it is really powerful. Mm. And yet that is how it was actually written in the first place. Mm. It was because someone had seen it. Someone, one of my favorite things in the book of Acts, talking about people who are not really qualified,
yes.
okay, is Philip. Here's Philip. He's not even an apostle, you know, because some people say, oh, but, you know, we're not a special one. We're not part of the fivefold. We're not this and that. Philip, you know, was a guy who got called because the others were saying, look, we need to pray and whatever, and we'll just name a few other guys to be part of the church and look after the church. And here's Philip gets called up. Next minute, he's there preaching to all these people. I mean, and when you say preaching, he's sharing what he's seen and heard.
Mm.
That is what it was, okay? He's sharing what he's seen and heard. Next minute, the scripture tells you demons were crying out, people are getting healed, the whole city was joyful. And I go, amen. If Philip can do it,
yeah.
anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is we start from a position of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know what to say. It's all about me. I'm looking like this. The mirror's like this.
Yeah, true.
Instead of the word of God being my mirror, the Godhead bodily dwells in you. The spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in you. The spirit that searches the deep things of God. How do we know the mind of Christ? You have the spirit in you.
Mm. Yeah.
And yet, this is where Paul says, hello, you're like babies because you can't handle it.
Yeah.
You can't handle it. So we've got to keep giving you the little promise scripture here and there because you can't handle. Mm. And so part of my calling is to inspire people to love the word of God so that they get out of that and get into the understanding of, you know, the maturity so you can handle the things. So if you get a phone call from the Australian government and you want to go and talk on a subject, you know that when you show up, the kingdom of God has walked into that room.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may not have all the answers. You don't have to know what to say when you get there. But the kingdom is there.
Yeah.
You know, and the Holy Spirit speaks. And so it's not about me standing on a street corner going, oh, you know, you're all going to die. It's not.
No.
It is the light on the hill, you know. And I'm so passionate about it because I think Australians, but the world over, there's been a dulling down of what the witness of Christ is. And we've masked it with missions. We talk, oh, we're going on a mission and my church is going on a mission and we're doing all this mission stuff, but it's not evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not turning someone from darkness to light. It's putting shoes on them and digging a well, and which is all lovely. It's all lovely. We're called to it. It's beautiful things. But salvation of the soul, the witness of the kingdom is actually higher, higher ranked, you know? And so I think that when it comes to people in business, I mean, we have a mandate that the business and the success of a business is about making a difference in the world, sure, showing up, kingdom showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But as the wealth comes, as the prosperity comes, that is then funneled into the kingdom of God. It's not about me building my kingdom.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and what happens is a lot of Christians, they start to make money. And then they withdraw from the giving because they go, oh, I like having money. I'll go and buy my second house. I'll go and have my third car. I'll go and take my family on holidays. And meanwhile, people are dying and not knowing Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I saw some of the power of business people funding some of these crusades where, you know, there might be a need of, say, $10,000 to pay for the sound equipment for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to have it? Do you think a $10 offering is going to help that? No. You need people who think big, who have faith, who say, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to give. I might not be able to always go, but my business has the opportunity to create wealth, to fund it. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I think this is
true.
Where we need to get out of the small thinking and into that kind of national, international, into all the world, you know, into the nation think. So for me, it's about the thinking, you know, for Christians, that because action will come out of your thinking.
Mm.
It comes out of your decisions.
Yeah.
But when the world comes in, when the world is more important and the cares of the life, you know, the sower of the seed tells you, the cares of life, the anxieties, the fears, it comes in like a flood. It comes in like a wall. It comes over you. And you can't break out.
No. And it's a great reminder as you share that, that when we're doing that and we allow our fears to stop us, that's when we are focusing on us and not, you know, where we need to surrender and say, well, you know, and we don't want to rely on our own strengths because that's only going to get us so far. That we need to lean in, don't we, and rely on his strength. My goodness, we can just continue talking about this for
and I'm sorry, your, no, your passion. I've talked about business.
No, that's, no, but really, this is
I
important.
Really love the idea of Christian entrepreneurs being able to grab hold of the concepts
yes.
of what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm. And that can then make a huge difference because if we are starting to, you know, fund various projects and make a huge impact and a difference, we then become influential in that and then we can. It opens the door to possibilities and opportunities to sit around the table when things like
that
happen.
Look at Billy Graham, for example. We look at Billy Graham as a person who had 100,000 something in Melbourne at the MCG. You know, he was in London. He was around the world. Now, how do you think that happened? Do you think it happened because he was in his prayer thing at home going, oh, Lord, just let them give me the MCG for free? No. It was business people.
Yes.
Because not even the church really helped him out that much. The church were too busy funding their own projects. It was the business people that stepped up and said, here, I've got a million, I've got five, you know, and this is what the entrepreneur should be thinking.
Yes.
Wealth creation, it's for the purpose of the kingdom, you know. What can I do to get a nation saved?
Yes. Yeah. Have you heard of, and you may have, of Wes Hone here? In,
yes.
Yeah, and that's what he's all about, isn't he, going
yes.
around and we're building kingdom businesses where we can be influential in government and in the world for the better for people who are dying and starving and, you know, certainly from a practical sense as well, obviously, from a spiritual sense. Ultimately, so everything you say, I think, is so important that we don't live in our little sheltered because we can, you know, to protect ourselves from what's going out there. But as you said, we are called to be the light and the salt and the earth. Now, how can people find out more about you and the services that you offer and all of that good stuff?
Well, I have a very basic thing on my website, which just is an application form, really, to do one-on-one coaching at the moment. But I'm also going to bring in more kind of group coaching just to help people and get and maybe do a few products because some people can't afford to get one-on-one coaching per se. So they might want to just do a little step-by-step on how to get into some of the marketing for their business and things like that. But they just need to go to graceandconfidence.com.
Fabulous.
And you can... You know, you can register on the email and then I can let you know of the offers that are coming. But, you know, my heart is really to unlock that thing that God wants to do in people and put them on that path to where they, you know.
Yes.
Where and the
that in itself,
start rolling.
That in itself can often be what people struggle with, don't they? And they feel, you know, am I really good? And if you're not really confident about and clear on that, a lot of doubt. And as you know, the enemy does not want us to fulfill the destiny that God has for us. So he
will
throw
all sorts. And even for the entrepreneur who is successful, you know, they're successful. They're already making money, but they know they're not in alignment with faith in the kingdom of God. They know they're doing it in their own strength. And sometimes you need someone who understands the entrepreneurial world and understands business to come in and go, okay,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, but I invite people to come along. But, you know, I'm not for everybody and I'm okay with that. That's part of marketing.
Yeah. Well, that's just business 101, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And now you've been able to spend some time with Sharon, of course, and I'm sure everyone who's listened today has been empowered and inspired today. So thank you once again for coming on the show. Now we'll put that link on the show notes as well. And for those of you listening to the audio, as I mentioned in every one of our shows, we also recorded this and streamed this live on Facebook. So pop across to ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE26 and you'll be able to see Sharon share her insights and we'll put the link as well. If you want to subscribe to the show too, we've created just an easy link to subscribe to this podcast as well as there's a couple of other business and leadership, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/subscribe. Go ahead and do that. And every time we release a new show, which is daily for the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, you'll be notified of that. One of the things that I'd love to do, Sharon, and I do this for all of the guests, is just say a blessing before we finish up for the show. Am I able to do that for you today?
Of course.
Yeah, fantastic. Father God, thank you for introducing us to Sharon and the message that she shared today. Lord, yes, as Christians, we're reminded that sometimes by putting that wall of security around us, we're not living out what you have commanded and encourages us to do in the Bible, which is to be the salt and the light in the earth. Father God, if someone is listening today and we all realize that maybe we've not been doing that, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask also for your strength that we can start to, in our approach and our attitude, become incredible ambassadors for Jesus, because when we turn to your word and we hear the stories and see the stories that were shared in the Bible and even the stories that happen here on earth in our time now, for what happens in the transformation when people have that experience where Christ forgives them and that relationship with him, it just is so amazing. And if we, through our conversation, through our actions, our interactions, can really show that love is what Jesus loves all of us. That's why he gave his life for our forgiveness of our sins, that we could experience that here on in earth and, of course, later in heaven as well. We pray that you'll continue to work in each and every one of the businesses that are listening and watching the show today. We also want to take time just to bring Sharon's business, Grace and Confidence, to you as well, that you'll continue to bless the work that she's doing with all of her clients as well, and of course the other projects that she's involved in too. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, Sharon. Yes, your passion really shines through. And I tell you, I am actually an introvert, which some people kind of think, really? I'm an extroverted introvert. So this is 3:19 p.m. At the end of the day. I think you're about the fourth. I have had 8 interviews previously. So sometimes by the end of the day, I'm inside going, yeah, you know. But thank you. I really appreciated that. And thank you for the work that you do. It's so important.
Well, thank you for having me. It's I love what you're doing, getting the word out. It's good.
Yes. Well, I ask great questions and just allow the guests to share. So that's what I enjoy doing and growing from that as I meet and interact with each guest, as we did today with you. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.